sterilization by thermonuclear device has been approved.
Change has come to America.
The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From the heartland of America in a bunker protected by Dachshund security, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and if we didn't have that black and tan power, I cannot imagine what this household would become.
Yes, Sam T. Dachshund, resting now after his confrontation earlier this evening with not one but two poodles.
20-pound surly curly poodles at that.
Surly curly
chocolate poodles.
Yes, so needless to say, if the fence hadn't been between Sam and those poodles.
Oh, absolutely.
The K9. Anyway.
He's a world traveler. He looks down his nose at those things, you know.
And that's a long way down for a dachshund.
I know.
Welcome to Thursday, July the
16th. July the 16th.
2009. And boy, there's a lot happening in the world tonight. A lot happening here in the bunker, too. We are happy to be hosting
my sister.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
She's a lot of fun.
She is a lot of fun. And you might be able to tell from my voice that I'm actually feeling better. Mm-hmm. I still have not been on the internet a whole lot, so I'm not going to be able to contribute a great deal. There are a few stories I found that I just want to plug raptureready.com. I quickly went there, and it's a great news source. So, you know, much as I love PID News, and I'd love for you guys to go there all the time, there are many other wonderful sites out there, including Tom Horn's site.
Raiders News Network.
Raiders News
Network.
Sure. You bet. But I think just for those who are keeping track and playing the game at home, what's up with Sharon? I think it may have been that I was getting another attack of the shingles, which may be why I was hurting so much. I've been taking L-lysine per my sister's instructions because she has similar difficulties. She says when you first notice you're getting the pain again, to take that, and I'm taking it according to a doctor's instructions, and I'm better.
We've been and thank you, by the way, to those who have emailed ideas, recommendations, and suggestions, not all of which I've been able to pass on to Sharon just yet. Had one that I didn't get until after I got home from work this afternoon, but good idea to send it to radio@peeringintodarkness.com because both of us see those emails. So even when Sharon's
I do. I really have not been cracking the computer. I opened it tonight to help Debbie with her resume. Mm-hmm. And other than that, just now looking at news, and I'm going to close it up tight, and I'm going to, you know, stick with the plan, try to stay off it for a few days more.
I think there are times when you need to do that. There's been some discussions on a couple of news groups I belong to about how getting just submerged in the news of the world can really weigh you down and distract you from what you're trying to do. And that's the enemy trying to work on us, because we are not given a spirit of fear. We know this from the Bible, however. As humans, we are imperfect, and so we are subject to those frailties and subject to becoming depressed, fearful, nervous, and sometimes, you know, look, even Jesus went off into the desert just to be by himself and have some alone time.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly, and I think it's more than just getting involved in the heaviness of what we look at. We don't call it peering into darkness for nothing. But I think also sometimes that there's an actual spiritual component of the prince and power of the air, the fact that the internet really does involve, you know, the air dimension. And I think there are spiritual entities that literally ride upon these, you know, electron waves. I'm getting really metaphysical here, aren't I?
But, you know, as metaphysical beings, you know, that's the real world in which we live.
That really is. And I can find myself, I know, here's an example. I start down a bunny trail of trying to find research material for one of the books, or trying to find news for the day, and that leads to more news for the day, and that leads to more news for the day. And before I know it, I literally, it's like I can't stop. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when Sam starts chewing his nails.
Right, right. He gets into a loop, and he just doesn't know when to quit.
Yeah.
And
And I cease being really productive at some point during that loop.
Yeah.
So, and
no, totally understand. Totally understand.
So anyway, let's get to the news.
Well, there is something of significance we need to point out here. We always look at the Middle East because that's where it all revolves around the Middle East, and specifically around Jerusalem. The Israeli Navy has sailed a couple of missile-class warships through the Suez Canal and into the Red Sea. This is about a week and a half after they sent through a submarine capable of launching nuclear missiles. The analysis is that the Israeli military is sending a very clear and public signal to Iran. We can put assets in place for a nuclear strike against your nation on short notice anytime we want. Now, according to the Times, this is the London Times, Western diplomats have been giving signals to the government in Israel that we'll look the other way if they choose to take out Iran's nuclear facilities if Iran gives on the Palestinian state, which, by the way, just a few days ago, on his 100th day in office, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, said the question is settled. Israel will accept a two-state solution. Coincidence? Ooh, I'm not that much of a coincidence theorist.
No.
So,
no.
But on top of that, the Israeli military will test an anti-missile missile, its Arrow missile, with the United States military at a U.S. missile range in the Pacific Ocean. A spokesman for the Pentagon said it's because the Arrow missile, in order to conduct a long-range test, needs more room than the Israelis have in the Mediterranean Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, another very public display of here's what we can do, Mr. Ahmadinejad.
Yes.
But more than that is Ayatollah Khamenei, who's really the power there. So,
well, exactly. And according to the report, it says this is a preparation that should be taken seriously. Israel is investing time in preparing itself for the complexity of an attack on Iran, as you say. And it goes on to say it's not by chance that Israel is drilling long-range maneuvers in a public way.
Right.
You are so right. This is not a secret operation. This is something that has been published and will showcase Israel's abilities. And these are according to a defense official. So, think something's in the air. Something's going to break pretty soon here.
Yeah, yeah. This is a drill for now. Just for now. Closer to home, the United States Senate and House are really working to push through health care reform in a real hurry. They want to do it before the August recess, which means, once again, Congress is going to be voting on a 1,000-page bill costing over $1 trillion.
Oh, 1,000 plus. It's 1,000 now.
Yeah. Barely had a chance to read.
Yeah. And he has said, he being Obama, has promised that between now and the recess date, that he's going to hammer it every day. He's just going to bang them.
And they're doing it.
Hammer them.
He's been giving public talks in the from the White House on, you know, televised talks on the need for this. His political organization, his PAC, basically, his campaign, because he's still campaigning, is bringing out those ads featuring that older couple, what, Harry and Sally or whatever their names are, talking about how, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if somebody would just help us with our medical bills. They're running those in key states. We'll probably see them in Indiana. Indiana is one of the states where these ads will be running over the next 30 days or so. And, you know, as I've been reading about this over the last couple of days, I keep trying to read for some details. Tell me what this is going to cost. Tell me what this is going to cost. And then I finally realized this afternoon, cost is not the issue. Cost is not the issue here. Let's not get wrapped up in whether this is going to cost $1.5 trillion over 10 years or $3 trillion. It doesn't matter. What the key issue here, the key issue is not even more government control over the healthcare system. It's where this government control leads. We interviewed Wesley J. Smith, a bioethicist and a writer who's been who's been analyzing and trying to talk about this issue for years now, over 10 years, about a year and a half ago. And he gets right to the heart of it. He said it's all about the sanctity of human life. It boils down to the sanctity of human life. Either human life is precious and unique just because, and he doesn't even approach it from a religious perspective. He doesn't, he just says, you know, humans are unique. The uniqueness of being human, which means that all human life, whether you're president of the United States or whether you're Terry Schiavo, you are precious and your life should be protected. Where this is going to go, hand in hand with government control, is this idea that human life is only valid or value, it only has value if it has utility. And watch for this to come. In fact, there are some very prominent bioethicists who are making this case now in the public forum. I think we've talked about Peter Singer once.
Yes,
or twice.
We have. He's the one who said essentially you're not sentient until you're 3 or 4 years old.
Right. And that as such, that parents should have the right to kill their children up to the age of 1 or 2 if they decide that having a child isn't in the family's best interest.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, this guy just really isn't contributing to the family.
Yeah, this isn't the hair color we want, so let's send him back.
No, this whole thing is about eugenics.
Yeah.
That's all it's about.
Exactly right. And taken in context with the other things we talked about in recent weeks, recent days, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ginsburg, saying that she thought that the whole Roe v. Wade decision was about getting rid of populations that, you know, we don't want too many of. And the new science advisor, relatively new. I mean, the President Obama science czar.
He's the czar.
Yeah, who 30 years ago co-wrote a book in which he argued that we needed to save the Earth from overpopulation by just, you know, forcibly sterilizing.
Coerced. Yeah. He used the word coerced.
Coerced sterilization. Now, Peter Singer, who is a professor of bioethics at Princeton University, a prominent Ivy League school, has an op-ed piece in today's New York Times Magazine. And it's currently posted online. There will be a link to it at PIDradio.com. And he argues why we must ration health care. And he essentially says, no, he says flat out that if you've got to weigh the cost of saving one life over another.
Mm-hmm.
And
that
say,
means you make the value judgment of who has more value.
Who has more value, right. And who gets to make that decision? Well, someone in government, obviously, because government will be overseeing. That's right, overseeing the healthcare system. But what it will come down to is some bureaucrat with an actuarial table. Well, let's see, you're 75 years old. You don't have many good years left, so we're not going to authorize this life-saving operation. We're just going to give you some pain meds so that we can have more resources left to save the lives of younger people who have more years of productive service to the state.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's going to come to, and that's the key issue in government-controlled health care. It's not the cost. Forget about the cost. Medicine's going to cost whether it's private or government. It comes down to whether human life is sacred or not. Not sacred, but is unique and special.
Let's say it's sacred.
Because we are...
We're made in the image of God.
And God says we're not to shed one another's blood.
Exactly.
And in fact, places a very high honor on those who protect widows and orphans, the weak, the helpless.
Mm-hmm.
And yet government-controlled health care with these eggheads, medical ethicists like Singer, arguing that we should make value, we should make cost-benefit analyses the basis of how the government rations health care, because otherwise it'll just go broke.
Well, he's no Barton Keyes.
No, that's true. That's true.
That's a reference to...
Yes, Double Indemnity.
Double Indemnity, one
Edward
of my favorite
G. Robinson
movies.
And Fred McMurray.
I know. Well, so. I've got a story. Our friend Tony Blair.
Yes.
He's up to a couple of things. One of them is that he has just announced that Durham University in the UK, they've announced a partnership with Durham as part of a new drive to create a global network of 12 leading research universities teaching 12. Faith and globalization.
Faith, his 12 apostles.
Yes. He's also running for president of the EU.
Oh, okay. That's his next step in his career because he'll be facing...
He's going to have to get Obama out of his way because Obama's already running for Messiah. I mean, if Blair wants it, he's going to have to...
That's
look,
right.
He should have declared earlier.
That's exactly where I was going with this. The two of these guys seem to be on a career track, along with Bill Clinton, to be running for, you know, president
know.
Of the world
I,
at some
running
point.
For Messiah? Running for Messiah? Vote?
This is an initiative that...
Come on,
Tony
who
Blair,
looks more like King Tut? Huh?
This is something Blair's been doing for a while now. He's been trying to get an interfaith organization together that will help enact and implement the United Nations Millennium Development Goals.
Yes.
And as part of this initiative, he has brought into the fold, as an advisor, Rick Warren.
No.
So,
gasp.
Yeah, it's again, it's this new age idea that we can create heaven on earth. And sadly, a lot of the purpose-driven folk who are on board with Rick Warren, who, you know, give him credit, is a likable guy and sure has a talent for organizing.
Community organizing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Are following along in a dominionist plan.
Well, he's only got three universities so far out of the 12. It's Durham, mm-hmm. National University of Singapore, and Yale. Yale was the first one.
So Andrew, Peter, and
It is
interesting that he chose 12, isn't it?
Isn't it, though?
Coincidence. I clearly got my foil hat on again.
Also, total left turn. Did you know that the Euphrates River is drying up?
No.
It is.
Now, aren't there angels under the Euphrates biblical? That are going to come out at some point?
Isn't that biblical? Yes. Hmm. The four angels who are bound in the River Euphrates. That's in the book of Revelation. Yeah, it's a story at the New York Times. Throughout the marshes, the reed gatherers standing on the land they once floated over cry out to visitors in a passing boat. There is no water is what they're screaming because it is drying up. There are dams that have been built in Syria and Turkey that are really, really making it tough for people living in Iraq to get anything out of the Euphrates. The Tigris has a lot of water, but the Euphrates is drying up. What's interesting, and this is what I really found compelling about this article at thestartelegram.com. It's from, though, originally the New York Times. The shrinking of the Euphrates, a river so crucial to the birth of civilization that, this is from the article I'm quoting, that the book of Revelation prophesies its drying up as a sign of the end times.
Now, where is that in Revelation? That's not coming to mind.
It is in Revelation.
Okay. All right.
I'll find it for you. You go on to your next story while I do a little searching.
Well, but just as an aside, John Loftus, who was a former federal prosecutor who found in the archives of the CIA, I believe, the evidence that the CIA and MI5 were actively involved in getting Nazis and members of the SS out of Germany after World War II, bringing the Nazi scientists over and also in helping to finance and spread the Muslim Brotherhood throughout the Middle East as sort of an adjunct to the Western intelligence agencies in the Arab world.
Oh yeah.
And my point here is that his sources have told him that those weapons of mass destruction that supposedly didn't exist in Iraq were actually housed in bunkers underneath the River Euphrates.
Exactly, which is very interesting that it's drying up.
Yes.
The first reference you talked about, the angels bound, that's Revelation 9:14, where it says, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great River Euphrates. Mm-hmm. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And we see in Revelation 16.
A third of the world killed by angels coming out of the Euphrates.
Yep.
Huh.
Revelation 16:12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great River Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared.
Right.
Well, in 9:14, it goes on, after it talks about the four angels who were loosed and to slay the third part of men, Revelation 9:16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000.
200 million.
Mm-hmm. Now, that may well be angelic, warriors.
Right.
But China has for years boasted that they have an army of 200 million.
Mm-hmm. And that's how quite a few prominent prophecy scholars interpret it. So.
Yeah. Well, they have sort of brought it on themselves in many ways.
Yeah.
They have the one-child policy, and most families will choose a male over a female.
Right.
So they have a lot of guys.
Yeah. Yeah, the ratio of men to women there is uncomfortable. another story closer to home. The Episcopal Church USA passed a resolution day before yesterday that has declared the denomination's ordination process is now open to all individuals.
All are welcome.
Including practicing homosexuals. Now, of course, you know, the ECUSA went along with the ordination of V. Gene Robinson, an openly gay priest in New Hampshire, as a bishop. He's now a bishop in the church. But they essentially placed a temporary moratorium on ordaining any more open homosexuals until they could put it to a vote. Well, they voted this week, and now it's wide open, just further proving that the ECUSA has completely abandoned New Testament as the Bible as authoritative.
Mm-hmm. And I think that they would probably agree with that statement.
Sure.
They'd probably say we're, you know, a little more open-minded.
Yeah. Well, clearly they are. I mean, I've gone to the website of the denomination before and found alternate liturgies written, which are essentially Wiccan. So, you know, it's bizarre.
That is just ate up. Well, one more story, and that's, you know, we've talked off and on about what's going on in Georgia and why it's important, having to do with the BTC pipeline.
Right.
The Baku, Tbilisi, Ceyhan, I think, is the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
This is another reason it's really important, because if you follow what's going on in the Ukraine, that has a lot to do with it. There's a story this morning at yesterday at WorldNet Daily, and Russia and its neighbor Ukraine are on the verge of another natural gas war. They've had one every year for the last three or 4 years.
Every time it gets nippy.
And this time it's prompting European countries to rush to fill up storage facilities. This is where the other night we were talking about this whole Georgia thing, and I said, look, Western Europe needs that BTC pipeline because right now they're getting it through Ukraine.
And that's direct – that's coming from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it could be a mighty cold winter there.
It is. Yeah. Now, let's bear in mind we've got U.S. warships in the Black Sea.
Yeah. As far as we know, just the one confirmed, but there may be more. I've not done more research on it. But there was a guided missile destroyer, you know, off the coast of Georgia, while just a couple hours away, Russian planes, military jets, were conducting exercises in the skies over South Ossetia. With President Medvedev there present.
Well,
so this was after they had that big buddy-buddy session between President Obama and President Medvedev, and suddenly the next thing you know, we're holding war games just, you know, like swinging an
arm's
length away from
each other. Sam told us that he didn't think that they were sincere.
he sniffed the air in the room and could tell something wasn't quite right.
He did indeed. He told me he peed on a few shoes. Now, he didn't tell me whose. And I said, well, how do you spell who? And he said, I'm not even, no, I'm not giving you any clues. So I can't even tell you who it was. But back to Georgia, even back to the original story that we started with, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
If Israel hits Iran, Iran has treaties with Russia and I think Syria, and I think even Venezuela. There are all of these treaties in place. If anybody hits Iran, then all of these other guys have to come in and sign. It's sort of like the equivalent of NATO.
Right, mutual defense pact.
Exactly. Right. If that's going to happen, the Western countries have to have personnel in place to help stop those assistances from happening.
Yeah, it could very. This could be the trigger that really kicks off a major conflagration.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep an eye on things, but you know, let not your heart be troubled. I mean,
amen.
You know how the book ends, and that's where our comfort and our security comes from. Things may not be pleasant in this time space continuum for a while, but ultimately we know that we're on the winning team.
Amen.
And so let's not
and keep praying for the people in Iran, and the people in Georgia and Russia and all over the world.
Israel.
Pray for all.
Gaza,
amen.
Yep. Yes, it's Jesus Christ died for them all.
That's what it comes down to. That's the bottom line.
Well, check the show notes at PIDradio.com, and you'll find links to the important articles. And, of course, on the right-hand column there, you'll see a link to the Piercing the Darkness Forum, as well as a bunch of other places that are really interesting.
And even though I'm not online lately, you know what? You can still find traces of me online. There are bits and pieces of me digitally interspersed throughout the world.
Yes.
We're at Facebook. We're at Twitter. I don't know. We're going to find some other places. We may even start our own. Who knows? We'll call it Fritter. Yeah. AppleFritter.com.
That's probably already taken.
Right? I bet it is.
Well, we'll work on that. And until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
This is PID Radio.